matter what your need is today. For those of you that know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you need to move, you might not even be a member of this church. We ought to break that wall down. It doesn't matter where you belong at. What matters is that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and you know that your sins have been forgiven. You need to come and pray. This altar is open. For those that need to make a move in your life, this altar is open. Maybe you just want to come forward, whatever it is. But most of all, church, for these that are with us that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I'd like to leave here today with some good news. I've already been blessed. My cup has been made. It's overflowed and overflowed and over. Just, you know, and I'm trying to get out of the way, Brother Victor. Back in the old days, Mom and Dad, when they would have coffee, they'd always have a saucer underneath of it. And I never understood. I thought it was foolish to have one because you're going to drink out of the cup. What do you need a saucer for? Folks, I'm glad God gave me a saucer. I'm trying to catch every drop of this today. I want to take some of this home with me this morning. But you pray, as Brother Victor preaches, that God would just move and... If you would, just give him your undivided attention and lift him up and ask God, just give him a word that will... I know Christians need a word. We need to be lifted up. We need to be helped in the troubles that we're facing. But folks, we got people here today that are in a very, very bad case this morning because they don't have a rock that they can run to. Imagine if you was in this life and you didn't have somebody you could count on. Folks, I don't know how people make it without God. But Brother Gil, I know this, that if we'll hold on to Him, He'll bring us through and He'll bring them through if they will just call upon the name of Jesus. It's our privilege and honor this morning to have Brother Victor Burkhart from Olive Branch to be with us. A few months ago, the Lord laid upon my heart to call him and ask him to come. And I got sidetracked. Anybody else ever get sidetracked? Help the pastor out this morning. I go to do one thing and end up doing three others and forget about the other one. And I finally got hold of him and I said, the Lord laid upon my heart to have him come and preach. And he said he would come. And this morning it's a great privilege to have him with us today. Would you give him your prayers? Lift him up. Because folks, when we lift him up, we'll be the Aaron and Hers that he needs. Because there's people here today that need victory. And let's help them get the victory today. Brother Victor, preach what God has given to you.
I'm going to tell everybody here.
Yes.
April 14, 1744. God saved my soul and I'm still standing by my side. Yes. I just had to say it. Praise God. Yes.
It is an honor to be here this morning. I want to thank the church for your prayers. I want to thank you, a good pastor, for the invitation that he's extended our way, that we might come and try to be a help to you. And I was telling Brother Eugene Durham over at the church that I pastor over at Olive Branch. I said, I always get more nervous when I know in advance when I got an appointment. And you preachers, you know what that's like. But I know also this morning who my helper is.
Yeah.
And I know that I can preach nothing to you this morning without the help of God. And so we desire and covet your prayers this morning. I thank God for the service already, for what we felt. I thank the Lord for the good news that my Lord and Savior is still on the throne. We live in a time where it seems like our leaders are nothing more than a bunch of sellouts. They have given in to all sorts of things along the way. But I'm glad to know that my Lord and Savior has not changed the plan. He's not changed the rules. He's still the same today, and I'm thankful for that. I know today that He can save your soul if you were here lost. I know today that He can stir your heart if you're one of His children today. And so, as we said, we desire your prayers. The book of Nehemiah is not where we're going to go this morning. We're going to take our text out of the book of Ephesians chapter 2 in just a minute if you want to go over there. But over in the book of Nehemiah chapter 4, around verse 19, Nehemiah is talking to the people there, and he tells them that the work is great. And it is large. We've got a large work today. In other words, friend, there's a great deal that needs to be done. And I want you to know today that the Lord left the church here to perform that work. We know today that we've got an example in Jesus Christ from John chapter 9. Right around verse 4, He said that He must work the works while it is day, because nighttime comes when no man can work. We know that we have an example in our Lord and Savior of how He worked all the days of His life. And that for you and I. You might say, well, I don't know about all that. I want you to know from the very moment that Jesus left the portals of glory and He was born in that virgin birth, Brother Larry, He began to work. You might say, I don't believe all that. At 12 years old, the Bible tells me that He was working the works of His Heavenly Father down in the temple. When His parents come back looking into the city of Jerusalem for Him, and they found Him right in among all the scribes and the elders. There He was, and that working. We find also that as He turned 30 years old, and He picked up, and that is gospel, and He began to preach it all throughout the countryside, and how He went from city to city, house to house, individual to individual, wherever He could gather a crowd. We found that He worked. The Bible says He had no place to lay His head, and that, but He went day in and day out, preaching and praying and working for you and I, all the way to Calvary, my Lord and my Savior, and that He took His life, He extended His work all the way to the cross and beyond the cross. The Bible says on the third day, when Mary come down to the tomb to see Him and seek Him, she did not find Him in the tomb. The work was continuing. Oh, bless God today. And He found her there in the garden, and He began to speak to her, and He said, don't touch me, Mary. I've not ascended yet back to my Father. But as the men gathered in the upper room, we find that out of nowhere, out of the thin air, He wasn't confined to the walls and the doors. But my Lord and Savior continued the work. And He showed up, Brother Larry, right in the room with them. And He spoke with them. And He talked with them. And He ate with them. Another time on this, I'll get to the message in a minute. Another time at the site, and not of the river, or of the Jordan, or the Sea of Galilee, rather. And as the disciples toiled and labored and worked themselves to death all night long as they rode in the morning, there my Savior was, with a fire ready and fish ready, and everything was ready, and that for them to come and dine. Well, listen, and that He stepped out on the cloud, and He ascended up in glory, and they watched Him go away. He continued the work, and Stephen beheld Him on the great day as He stood, and He preached the gospel before him, and they took His life. Stephen said, I see Him standing at the right hand of God. He's still working for you and I today. I find the Bible to say in the book of John, He said, in many more things did Jesus do. And He said, I suppose if they were written down, this world itself could not contain the books that would be written. You want to know why? He's still working in your life and in my life. Oh, bless God. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm thankful today that the Word of God has been preserved unto this generation. And it was God that preserved it. Brother Roger's still performing, and that the work. I hope and pray you allow me to preach just a moment this morning to you. I want to take some scripture out of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. And it simply says this. The Bible says, for we are the His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And that's the scripture this morning that was on our heart. And that scripture's been with us for about a week and a half just for this occasion. And so as we continue to look at what our work is in this life, we know today of the same chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians tells us how that we are saved. And he said, Paul said, it is not of your works. In other words, it's nothing good that you ever did. But the Bible says that we are created, listen, in His likeness. When we are saved by His marvelous grace, we are placed into some good works. The Bible says that these works, that they were before ordained of God. And so then we know, having been ordained ordained aforetime by God, that we know that when we were lost and without God, we could not perform the works of God. Oh, it doesn't stop man from trying. Oh, I tried when I was lost, no doubt everybody in the house today. I tried to perform the works of God when they did not know God. Oh, but what a great day it is when you give your life to the Lord and all of a sudden you realize that all your labor was for nothing, that all your toil was in vain, that God had everything that we needed to begin with. And what a great day it is when you can stand in the presence of an almighty God and present yourself as a living sacrifice before the Lord, and you can perform those things that are merely your reasonable service unto God, and be not conformed to this world or to the lies of Satan. But when God transforms your mind and He changes your heart and He puts you into a good work, you'll know where you stand with God, and you won't have to question whether you please God. There was a time in life when I thought my labors of righteousness were good enough, but all the Bible tells me they were as filthy rags before the Lord. I want you to know today I was given a good piece of advice as I began to pastor Olive Branch about 11 and a half years ago from a dear pastor who's still pastoring in the community, one of our sister churches. And as I sat down, or rather as I stood outside of the church and that other Living Word Missionary Baptist Church, and Brother Mike Callahan, you all know who he is, I asked him, I said, "Brother Mike," and I was just starting, probably hadn't been pastoring very long, and I said, "I just, seems like the crowd's down, seems like the church has been down, and they've been through a hard time, oh, but they've labored." And I said, "I just want to be a help to them." And he said, "Victor, there's only one thing you need to do." He said, "Just keep preaching, keep singing, and keep praying." Well, listen, those are the works that we'd like to preach to you today, by the help of God, if we may. The Bible tells me, as I begin to look at examples in this book, I know today that we've all got to work in the Lord. I know the blade of the Bible said on one occasion as Jesus was preparing to go away, I believe it was John who was at his side. And I believe it was Peter that stood up after the Lord had given Peter some instructions on how he wanted him to be and how he wanted him to live his life. And John looked, or Peter rather looked at the disciple John, and he said, "Lord, but what about this one?" Oh, the Lord, in other words, said, "You don't worry about him. You worry about yourself." In other words, "I've given you a job to do, and I've given him a job to do. You don't worry about what his work is, and he won't worry about what your work is." But I believe what Jesus was telling them was, you work together, and you just give God all the glory. In other words, don't worry about who sings what song. Don't worry about what message so-and-so preaches. Don't worry about the delivery. Don't try to be like another. Just be what God wants you to be. Oh, bless God today. That's sound advice. Just, if the Lord knocks at your heart to fall on your knees at work, don't look around and let some other saint. Don't say, "God, just give it to somebody else. That's not their work. That's your work." Oh, bless God today. And you ought to be ready to perform your work. I find in the Bible, as Stephen we mentioned already, as he stood on that day and he began to expound on the gospel, but there was a crowd among him. Y'all notice I don't walk around very much. I hope I don't bother you. But he said, as he began to expound upon the life of Jesus, he said, "Our Lord and Savior, whom Moses spoke about, who our forefathers looked to," he said, "he arrived, that Savior, that Messiah. It was in this man, Jesus Christ." He said, "And you leaders, you, and that you Pharisees and Sadducees, you self-righteous bunch of people, you stiff-necked and hard-hearted, and that group that thought your work for the Lord, and because you had Abraham as your father, you thought you were doing the work of God, you crucified the Lamb, and you hung him on the cross. Oh, but he rose again and he sat down at the right hand of the Father, and they picked up stones, Brother Roger, and they stopped their ears because they didn't want to be condemned by their own heart and by the spirit that was moving in the crowd. They began to hush him, but I find Stephen to keep on preaching, keep doing the work of volition. And as the last stone was thrown and the last bit of breath left his body, and they took his clothes and laid him to the side, Stephen, he just got to go on to the other side. Oh, but his work, it continued. You say, preacher, how did it continue? There was one in the crowd that beheld it, and he saw his labor for God. And I have to believe that Paul remembered the day that Stephen was stoned. I believe he remembered. Paul said, I consented unto his death. Oh, how that work had an effect. Oh, friend, listen, today you might not understand and fully comprehend the effect that your work will have on the lives of those around you. But I want you to know it affects your children. It affects your loved ones. It affects those in the house of God that you don't even know by name. It can affect your other people you work with. It can affect the stranger on the street. Oh, just because you're willing to labor and work for the Lord. I find another occasion after Paul and Silas had been beaten. Y'all know the story, how that they were cast into prison, and how the guard, and that he was charged with their life. And he said, and he was told, do you keep them there in that innermost part of the prison house? We find how that he stood on the outside, and we find after those men had been beaten with stripes, bloody and probably tired and wore out, Brother Larry, oh, did their work for the Lord stop that time? No. I find that in the midnight hour, I have to believe that God stirred in their heart. Oh, how the Spirit began to move. And what Paul got on the road to Damascus began to move him in those prison walls. And I don't know who sung first. I don't know who started the chord, who started the verse. But I find that all of a sudden, Paul and Silas were singing in the midnight hour. Oh, what were they singing? I believe they were probably singing victory in Jesus tonight. Oh, but listen, they know where their help and where their strength come from. And all of a sudden, oh, God showed up. Oh, listen, from within. And he shook the walls on the outside. And when that Philippian jailer and that beheld the prison gates were open, and probably they had escaped, he was ready to fall on the sword. Oh, bless God, Paul said, don't harm yourself. We're all here. We're just working for the Lord. And bless God, the jailer come in, and he said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul expounded Jesus unto him, and the jailer got saved, and his house got saved because of the work for the Lord. Oh, you see what can happen in a person's life when they work for the Lord. I find another occasion in the Bible, in the book of Acts, where they taken Peter, they put him in jail too. Well, they tried to confine him, they tried to hush him. I'm surprised today we still live in a country, they're still trying to hush the Word of God. They're trying to confine us, trying to outcast us. Aren't you amazed that God's Word still continues to get out? Oh, listen, I'm not amazed. I know where it comes from today. Oh, bless God. The Bible said Peter was in jail. I believe it's St. Herod. He saw how it pleased the people. He had killed James and had killed another. And so he took Peter and he put him in jail. And he was going to kill him also. But I find out again in that dark hour, seemed like the darkest time of life, the people were praying at a house. Were they not? Oh, they began to pray. And how they prayers reached heaven. And all of a sudden the angel come and got Peter up by the side, loosed his shackles. Bible said they fell off. Listen, it told him, Peter, rise up and leave this place. Get out of here. You don't have any business. Satan can't hold you. The world can't hold you. These chains can't hold you. Oh, because the church was praying. Aren't you glad that there was a time when the church prayed on your behalf, when Satan had you bound, and all of a sudden God showed up and broke the chains and said, you're loose. Go free from this place. Bible says Peter left the prison house and he went right back to the house. And he knocked on the door. And the woman looked and she shut the door in his face, supposing it was a spirit. Oh, listen, Peter was there. The church was praying. And so there are just a few examples in the Bible of how praying and preaching and singing has an effect on those around you. Now, I know we don't live in the times of the Bible, but I'll say this. This Bible was given to us for instruction, and it was given to us for an example. It was given to us for a guide through life. Listen, so no matter what comes, and I've been preaching this point to this point to the church, no matter what comes in life, friend, we need to be working and praying together. There's another thing about God's work we need to understand. It's done in unity, isn't it, Brother Roger? It's done in unity and it's done in love. But listen, it's not about Olive Branch versus Mount Carmel. It's not about this church versus that church. It's not about walking through the church and seeing how many that they had in attendance and saying, well, we've got more than that. I'm telling you today, we live in a day and time. We need to be on our knees praying to God. Lord, have mercy. Bless our sisters and our brothers who are doing the work. Oh God, give them souls for the labor. No matter what community they're in, give them help and give them strength. I've got news for you. When Olive Branch prays, God will show up at Mount Carmel. And when Mount Carmel prays, God will show up at Riverside. And when Riverside prays, God will show up in Muncie. God will show up. And that when we pray and help one another, listen, and when the same goes for the preaching, it's not about me, it's not about you, but everything we do ought to be the uplift of our Lord and Savior. Let us work while it is day, because night's coming when no man can work. Let God be given the glory today. Let us work. I like the sign that Mount Carmel has out here. They've had it here for a long time. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's all about Him. It's all about Him. Amen. I want you to know today, Satan tries to discourage the work of the church. He will try his level best to tell you and convince you to stay home, that your work is in vain and it is for nothing. I want you to know that I'm reminded of the scripture in the book. One of my favorite scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Apostle Paul writes to him in verse 57 and 58. We're going to read it so I don't misquote it. He said, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I've got victory today, Brother Larry. Not because of you. not because of anything that I did good on my own, but because of Jesus Christ. Oh, Paul, he continues, he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I love that scripture, Mother Roger. Every time Satan comes along and says you have no effect on anybody, every time that that Satan will come and contend with these singers or those that travel around and say, well, you're just putting all these miles, you're wearing out your automobile, you're wearing out your body, you're wearing out your voice, and no one cares. Oh, listen, it's nothing but a lie straight out of hell. I've already got victory in Jesus. Amen. Bless God this morning. I'm just continuing my work that the Lord's given me. I know I've got victory. I know I'm headed to a better place. I know I'm going. Oh boy, listen to the other side. But while I'm here, oh, bless God, let me be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because I know where my help comes from, and I know that victory lies in Him. I want to take a moment, just a brief moment now, preach to you, if I may, that are here lost. Oh, listen, there was a time in the Bible when Jesus walked upon this earth, this world that we live in, that He walked into the temples and He saw all the things that they had, all the things that they'd done. Listen, He gathered them together, Brother Larry. I've often said, and I still say probably to the day that I die, that 23rd chapter of Matthew, He just tore them up one side and down the other, Brother Roger. He said, you do all these things. He said, but your heart's far from me. He said, you do the work. They said, we've got Abraham to be our father. Jesus Christ told him, he said, if you knew Abraham, then you'd know me. Listen, he said, Abraham, he said, he knew me. Listen, he said, he rejoiced to see my day. And he said, and he rejoiced in it. Listen, you can take that scripture however you want to. But I believe that somewhere in Abraham's life, being the father of faith of us all, that God showed him some things down through time, Brother Larry, that caused Abraham to rejoice because he saw the day of Jesus Christ, and he saw the promise that he'd been given in his seed, and he saw a Savior who was going to come for the salvation of the world. Jesus said, if you knew Abraham, you know who I was. He told him, he said, your work's in vain. That's good for nothing. He said, all you just filled with self-righteous works of your own self. He went in the temple. I mean, he turned the tables upside down. He made a cord with, or he took a cords and made a whip, and he drove them out. And he said, my Father's house will be a house of prayer. He said, you've turned it into a place of merchandise. You look around today, you don't think people are merchandising the name of Jesus Christ. Well, listen, it's not about who can sell the mugs. It's not about who can sell the pendants. It's not about making money on my Lord and Savior. God help us all if we ever fall in a shape like that. But what is the work of the Lord? I want to see lost people saved by the grace of God. I want to see them at an old-fashioned altar. I don't want to give them a pamphlet. I don't want to hear them recite a prayer. I don't want to tell them they're okay. I don't want to write their name down on the books just to have another member in the crowd. I want to see a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I want to see tears. I want to see sorrow. I want to see suffering. I want to see labor. I want to see conviction from top to bottom. And I want to see them rejoice when they get off the altar and know that the load's been lifted and sin's been forgiven and God give them a work and He put them in it there. That's what we want to see. Well, when we see that, church, we'll know that we're doing the work of the Lord. Because God's going to, He's going to perform His work. Amen. He's going to perform it. One way or another. I find the Bible to say as Jesus come into Jerusalem on that great day of the Passover, and He put Him on that donkey as He rode in there, and they laid the palm leaves down in front of Him, And they began to shout, "Hosanna, great Hosanna to the King." And all the temple leaders and the self-righteous, stiff-necked, hard-hearted people stood around. They said, "Don't." They said, "You tell these people to hush. You tell them to stop." Oh, Jesus said, "Don't you know that if these hold their peace, if they hold up their praise," He said, "the rocks will cry out in their place." Oh, bless God. The Lord desires to use us. He desires for us to perform the work that He's given us. He's already given us great and exceeding precious promises. We know that. I'm just like Abraham. We ought to be know that God will perform all the promises that He's given unto us. But listen, Paul said, "I'm fully persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." Oh, but Paul, he was ready to work and he was willing to perform it all the way to the time he said, my race is run and my journey and my life is over. He said, "I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Oh, God has a crown of righteousness laid up for me." Oh, but Paul knew it wasn't for him only. He said, "For all those that love the appearing of the Lord." Oh, church, I beg you, I plead with you. Listen, I want to encourage you and uplift you. Do the work that God has given you. Well, listen, whether it's here or you might be visiting from somewhere else, go back to your home church. Do the work in your life. Do the work at home. Do the work at your job. Do the work day in and day out. Don't confine it to a Sunday. Don't keep it in a Wednesday. But let God work in your life daily. Let your life be an effect to everyone around you. And lift God up so the lost can see Jesus in your life. Amen. Amen. And if we do that, the lost people won't be able to sit in the house of God Sunday after Sunday and not feel anything. God will get a hold of them. To you that are lost, I want you to know today that you are laboring and you are striving and you think in your carnal mind that you are doing the will of God. Satan has convinced some of you that you are young and that you have time on your side. He has convinced many folks that you can live to be way up in years and didn't get things settled with God. Well, I want you to know something. There's not a soul in this building today that Satan has not used that same lie on. And I would encourage you to take a moment and talk to those that are saved by the grace of God. And you'll find out that the only regret they have is that they didn't get saved sooner in life to begin the work and do the work that God has given them. Because there is no greater, as Brother Lloyd Stevens says over at church, there's no greater paymaster than our Lord and Savior. When God rewards you, oh, it makes it all worthwhile. You say, "Why do these singers wear their bodies out? They travel all over the countryside, going to churches. They're probably gone from their home church more than they're there. Why do they do that?" Say, "They just wear them out." Well, when they get in church and the Spirit begins to move, God shows up, makes every mile worthwhile. Victor, why do you stand and preach and wear your body out? You sweat and you labor and you toil. But oh, if I could let God just use me one more time and feel His presence just one more time, it's worth it all. Oh, why do we labor so long, preacher, and praying? Because when we see a prayer answered and the Spirit falls and just moves, it's all, well, we sing a song over the church, "A lifetime of labor is worth it all." Oh, if we could see one soul saved. Every song ever sung, every message ever preached, every prayer ever prayed. If I can, oh, well, listen, the day I saw my daughter saved, the day I saw my son saved, it was worth it all. Everything. But I know that God has more in store. But listen, the Bible said, as the disciples come back to Jesus, they were amazed at the things that they'd seen, that they were able to accomplish through the Spirit of God. But listen, Jesus, He told them, He said, you rejoice. He said, and you marvel. He said, at these things. Oh, but He said, there's so much more in store. Listen, He said, the harvest is ripe. He said, pray for laborers to enter into the harvest. Well, listen, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is when Nathanael showed up at the feet of Jesus. Jesus, He said, I saw you down there when Philip come and got you. I just sat under the fig tree. Listen, and he showed up and He said, Lord, now I know you're the Messiah. He said, you proclaimed me simply because I said I saw you. He said, but I'm telling you, Nathanael, you're going to see greater things than this in your life. I got saved at 17 years old on an old-fashioned altar in that same shape that I preached already. Broken heart, contrite spirit. I had bargained with God on a number of occasions before that Sunday. Lord, I'll wait another day. Lord, let me get older. God, let me get married. God, let me be way up in years and then I'll settle it. But it wasn't on my terms. It was on God's terms. And my Lord and Savior, He said, today is the day of salvation. He said, now is the time. And this blessed book that I love and hold so dear, this infallible Word of God that has been preserved in our generation, no matter what this world tells you, it tells me plainly that you cannot call on God in your own time. But when God calls your name and the Spirit begins to knock at your heart, that's the time then you have to come. No other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And friend, Jesus Himself instructed us that no man can come unto Him, and He holds the power and the key to life everlasting. He said, no man can come unto me lest my Father in heaven send the Spirit and draw him. So that's God is doing His work and drawing men and women. Jesus said, He come not to judge the world, but He come to seek and to save that which is lost. And He's still seeking, and He's still saving that which is lost. He's still doing His work. Church, we're doing our work. We're working together. He is the head and we're the body. But listen, we're all working in unison and love one another this morning. And the Word of God's going out and drawing those that are lost to be saved. Friend, it's in your court, as the saying is. Now is the time. Today is the day. God has performed the work and He has accomplished the task. Church, let us work together while it is day. Friend, if you're here lost, you need to come. We're going to ask these singers to come if they will. We want to give a verse of a song. We're going to ask the whole congregation to stand your feet. I'm going to ask your good pastor, Brother Roger, if he'll come and stand with us right here in the front. Friend, if you're here lost, you need to be saved. You need salvation more than your next breath. There is life and life everlasting. Jesus is still standing at the right hand of the Father. He's extending a love. He's extending His mercy your way today. I just imagine and envision the Spirit of God, how it just moves through the church. Oh, church, you know as well as I do, it's precious. That precious Spirit of God, don't disturb it. Let it do its work. Let it accomplish what God intends for it to accomplish today. Let it rest on the hearts of them that are lost. Let it knock at their heart that they will come. Listen, I remember when I was lost, how my heart beat, seemed like 100 beats a minute. Oh, it just beat out of my chest. And I thought, Lord, if I could just hold on to this seat. God, I don't want to go now. There's too many people. Some other day, another convenient time. But Jesus said, now's the time. Today is the day. Come. I found this to be true. And I've heard the testimony from many of my brothers and sisters since I've been saved. But in my case, and in their cases, according to their testimony, the very moment I made the first step, the very moment I decided that I was done listening to the lies of the devil, the very moment I decided I was going to stop working for Satan, you say, "Well, wait a minute, preacher. I'm not working for Satan." Jesus told him, he said, "Your father is the devil." That's what he told him. He said, "You're not doing the works of God." He said, "Your father is the devil." But I find the very moment that I didn't listen to the lies any longer, and I made it up in my heart that I was going to take that step and go pray and just see this Jesus for myself. Oh, how that Spirit of God, it just led me. God met me. And what a great day that was. That heaven become my home. My name was recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'll be honest, I didn't come up preaching. I didn't come up testifying and saying great big words to try to impress anybody. I came up as a babe and as a child. All I knew is that I was lost, but now I was found. I was blind, but now I can see. And the Lord just nurtured me. And the church loved me. And they gathered around and they helped me. And I began to grow. And God put me in my work, in my place. And you're not taking my place, and I'm not taking your place. But God has a work for you. God has a spot for you right now, this morning. You don't have to come and wait. There's not a program. There's not a sign-up sheet. There's nothing like that. But oh, He's got a spot for you right now. Right here on this old-fashioned altar at Mount Carmel Missionary Baptist Church, this could be your place. This could be your spot. And yours alone. Won't you make it your place this morning? Make it your spot. Start your work for the Lord. While they sing, church, pray.
Whatsoever. I know if there's an obstacle, it's not your will. There's been times in life when the obstacle is not enough. Now I could 22 years, I said that to say this. I have been blessed in my 22 years of marriage. I love my wife. She is my dearest friend. I'd rather spend time with her more than anybody else on this side of eternity. And I attribute that to my Lord and Savior. I attribute that relationship to Him. Because He has blessed us. So I said all that to say this, friend, God will make your life better.
Yes,
He sure will.